May it please the court, Michael Houston, pro se. This suit is against doctors as licensed professional, not in an individual capacity. Under Illinois law, the mere fact that a doctor was acting within the scope of his or her employment is not sufficient to make the United States the real party in interest. This duty is derived from the doctor's status as a licensed professional doctor under Chapter 255 of the Illinois Compliance Statute, titled Professionals and Occupations. It is wholly independent of the doctor's government employment. With respect to the duty of care owed by the doctor, it is the common law of Illinois, Section 299A of the Restatement Second of Torts, is an accurate statement of the common law of Illinois. For these reasons, this case should be remanded back to the Circuit Court of Cook County, Illinois. Any questions?
That's fine. I don't know if we have any questions for you, but we certainly have read your brief. Maybe if you would like to address for a moment the point that the government makes, which is that it's actually not the law of Illinois here that matters. What does matter is the circumstances under which the United States substitutes itself as a defendant for the Federal Tort Claims Act, and that is a different concept of scope of employment than Illinois uses.
Okay.
And these people were working as physician's assistants and a physician, and whether they made mistakes or not doesn't mean they weren't acting within the scope of their employment, and whether the source of their duty to the patient was something that stemmed from professional training or whether it was something that stemmed from the fact they were working for the government is also not relevant under the Federal Tort Claims Act. That's the government's primary argument. I'm sure you've read their brief.
Correct.
Yeah. So if you would like to comment on that, that would be fine.
But I'm looking at, if we apply Illinois law.
But this is a Federal Tort Claims Act case.
Federal Tort Claim Act. But I believe up on even though it's a Federal Tort Claim Act under Illinois law, you still have to apply Illinois laws to the to this matter.
Okay. Well, if you decide you want to say more after the appellees have argued, you'll have plenty of time for rebuttal.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Cook?
May it please the court, Mr. Houston. Your Honor, I think this case comes from a misunderstanding about the law that applies here.
Could you speak up? I'm having trouble hearing you.
Excuse me. Is this better, Your Honor? I think Mr. Houston's appeal comes from a misunderstanding of what law applies here. According to the appellant's arguments, the United States would never be liable for the torts committed by its doctors. And although that would personally relieve my own caseload, that's not the policy of the United States. We do want to be liable for torts committed by our doctors.
So I have a question. The reason the United States is involved at all, I understand, is because this health center is covered under the public health statute. Is that correct?
Correct.
So had a person wanted to exhaust administrative remedies, do you go to the Department of Health and Human Services, or where do they go, and how do they know where to go?
There is the process is to file an administrative complaint with the Department of Health and Human Services.
It is with HHS.
Correct.
And is there some office there that handles these things, or how does one know where to go if you get negligent care at a health center that falls within this scope?
Well, there is a website where the health clinics can be looked up to see whether they're qualified federal clinics. There's also a hotline that can be called to determine whether they're on that list.
So are the qualified health clinics 100% funded by the federal government, or is it a sharing arrangement?
I don't know that, Your Honor. I know that they receive federal funding under the Public Service Act, and that's what allows their employees to be deemed under the Federal Tort Claims Act. I don't know whether
so they're deemed federal employees, even though they're actually working for this health center. They're not like, you know, somebody who works for the Department of Justice or whatever, who's obviously a federal employee.
That's correct. They're deemed for purposes of litigation under the Federal Tort Claims Act for torts arising out of their medical care.
And so the Attorney General makes the usual scope of employment certification for people with these who are in these health clinics.
If they are working for a healthcare clinic that receives public service funds and they're working within the scope of their employment, based upon the allegations against them, yes.
So Peckard. So if the plaintiff had proceeded against the government under the Federal Tort Claims Act, the government would be responsible for his malpractice. Is that correct?
Your Honor, the question, if the plaintiff had proceeded against the United States based upon Mr. Peckard's conduct, would the United States be liable if there was a finding of fault?
Well, like ultimately, right. So he files all the right administrative things. Mm-hmm. He gets the ability to sue. The government certifies scope of employment. And we'll just assume for the sake of argument, there's a determination that Peckard was negligent and violated standards of care, et cetera. So the government pays, right?
That's correct.
It's not under any exception in the Tort Claims Act or anything.
That's correct. The United States in the beginning of the case would be, as we did in this case, would substitute itself for the healthcare professional, Mr. Peckard. And in the event that the case, there was a judgment or settlement, the United States would pay for that.
This is extremely serious malpractice. I don't know if you're aware of that. This Stevens-Johnson syndrome is very rare. It's an extraordinarily destructive disease. The important thing, what Peckard failed to do, is not, he didn't have to warn Houston that taking allopurinol risks Stevens-Johnson syndrome. He has to tell him that if you have any allergic reaction, you must immediately go to an emergency room, because if you delay by hours, you are going to end up in this horrible situation.
I trust Your Honor's observations.
We've had cases like this.
I'm personally not familiar with the condition. The case has not gotten to the point where we've looked closely at the doctor's conduct or the condition or conditions that Mr. Houston suffered in this case.
All right, we understand that. So if you have anything else to say?
No, if there are no further questions, I'd ask that the district court's opinion be affirmed.
Okay, fine. And Mr. Myers?
May it please the court, Daniel Myers on behalf of the appellee Qualitest. The district court properly held that each of Mr. Houston's state law claims against Qualitest is preempted by federal law. Additionally, the district court did not abuse its discretion by dismissing each of Mr. Houston's claims against Qualitest with prejudice, because amendment would be futile in light of two recent binding Supreme Court cases. In the last 4.5 years, the United States Supreme Court has held twice that state law claims, like the ones that Mr. Houston has brought against Qualitest, are preempted by federal law because it would be impossible for a generic prescription drug manufacturer to comply with its state law duties without violating federal law.
So suppose somebody like Mr. Houston, in a public-spirited way, you know, wants to do something about inadequate warnings, let's say, for allopurinol. Does the FDA entertain applications to change, obviously, not just the, I understand the sameness thing, not just the generic, but the original drug and the generic, to improve what it says, or to get it off the market, or to restrict its approved uses, or otherwise to modify?
I believe they do, Your Honor, and that is something that Mr. Houston could do.
No, I mean, it's just as a citizen, I'm thinking, you know, if you're stuck with this sameness, however inadequate these warnings may be, I mean, they could be equally miserable, right, for both the original drug and the generic. It's a distasteful thought that there's absolutely nothing someone can do about that.
Your Honor, you're correct that a citizen could petition the FDA or Congress, and then there could be changes.
Well, Congress, don't tell me that.
But as the Supreme Court ruled in both Mensing and Bartlett, no matter how your sympathies lie, the law is the law. And under the federal law, Qualitest was preempted. They were not allowed to change the label or the design of the drug.
No, I understand. They had no discretion to do anything. It has some bioequivalent. It's got the warnings have to be the same. I get that.
Correct. So together, Mensing and Bartlett establish that Qualitest could not unilaterally change its label, it could not unilaterally change its design, and also it couldn't be forced with exiting the market is the only way of complying with the state law.
And it couldn't write like what they could keep calling a dear doctor letter, like please, please, please give people proper warnings along the line that Judge Posner.
Correct, Your Honor,
saying.
Because as the Supreme Court noted, that is considered labeling, and therefore Qualitest would have been in violation of federal law.
No, this isn't a labeling issue. The problem with the labeling is there are so many extremely low probability disastrous potential consequences of taking a drug that there isn't room for listing all of them.
Your Honor, it's
the
also...
The need is for the doctor to warn people who take this drug that if they have any allergic reaction, however mild, that's a medical emergency. They must immediately go to an emergency room. That's what's required. Now, I take it if Houston had followed the required procedures, he could make that argument under the Federal Tort Claims Act, right?
Which
covers malpractice, I assume.
No. I won't speak to what claims he could bring under the Federal
Pardon?
Torts Claim Act.
Pardon?
I said I will not speak to what claims he could bring under the Federal Torts Claim Act, which I don't represent the government.
Well, malpractice, isn't that a tort?
Malpractice is a tort.
So why can't you bring it under...
If he followed the proper federal...
So that's your position. Go sue the United States. Don't sue us. Right?
We are not the proper defendant. It's also important to note that there was actually a warning in Qualitest's allopurinol label about Steven Johnson syndrome.
It doesn't do is convey the urgency. It says if you have a rash, go see a doctor. But a lot of people get little rashes, you know, even from gardening, and they don't think that much of it. They throw some hydrocortisone on it. But this rash isn't a rash that should be treated that way. That's the issue.
Your Honor, it's the warning that the FDA approved for the name brand manufacturer, and Qualitest complied with its federal obligation to use the exact same warning as the name brand. So this case fits squarely within Mensing and Bartlett. Mr. Johnson, as we've discussed, alleges that he suffered from Steven Johnson syndrome, and the allopurinol was the same design, the same warnings as the name brand drug.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Anything further, Mr. Houston?
I believe on federal law, whether the federal government employ doctors on an independent duty to myself is a question of Illinois law. 28 U.S.C. 1346b1.
Right. The underlying case follows the law, the liability standards follows the law of Illinois. But if the doctor is an employee of the United States, as these public health doctors are deemed to be, then the United States steps in once it certifies that that's... In other words, he wasn't off, you know, in West Virginia on the weekend doing something having nothing to do with this clinic. He was working for the clinic and thus in the scope of his employment. I think that's the concept.
Okay, we move on to Qualitest Pharmaceuticals.
Okay.
I had a motion to remand that was presented to the district court. The motion to the district court never made a ruling on the reasons why he dismissed that motion.
Undoubtedly, the reason he did not remand is because if there's federal jurisdiction in the federal court, then it's not appropriate to remand it to the state court. The federal court should keep the case. And they're seeing, the judge is understanding this as a question whether Qualitest's duties under the Food and Drug Act, namely, you know, and all of its regulations, have been complied with. He says it sort of has to be that. It can't be state law here. That's what preemption means.
So that has to be part of the same case and controversy.
Yeah.
It does?
It's all part of it. It all arises out of this one incident that happened to you, right? That's what prompts the whole lawsuit.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. Thank you. And thanks. No, I don't think so. Thanks to all counsel. We will take the case under advisement.